Oh, you? Good, good. We just haven't seen in ages.
So special. Are we outside or inside?
Outside. You got everybody down, Marv? Didn't down Marv? Did down? No, okay. See, because originally you told me we could talk for 3 hours, didn't you say that?
I'll go to Shomer Shabbos in Borough Park.
Beautiful. You're on.
I got till 3 a.m.
Yeah, 2:30 is the last minute. 2:30 is the last minute. I'll tell you from personal experience. No, because it's 5-something that's starting Shachas. What?
Is that
Lando
Shul or
Lando Shul? No, Lando's only 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Lando's only 1 o'clock.
Shomer Shabbos is, that's...
We were in New York one time, and I dropped my kids off at the airport to go to Eretz Yisrael. And I got back, it was 11 a.m. And I told her that I got to go. She said, go to Lando's. I said, nah. I went there. I couldn't even get in. It was 11 o'clock in the morning.
11 o'clock is the middle of the... No, but in Shomer Shabbos, you can get Marv till 2:30. So you'd say, you know, I was there already at 2 o'clock, a minute. So you figure, how many people come at 2 o'clock? So there were 30 people in the minion I downed at 2 o'clock. So, okay, you know, but you figured the 2:15, they'll be struggling. 2:15, we've got plenty of guys coming in at 2:15. That's a place, you know what I'm Well, considering that at 5-something the first minion starts already, the Shachas, you know.
No, they're the ones that go to the 11 a.m. Shachas.
Okay, let's start. Okay. We're coming on upon this great, outstanding, momentous moment called Purim. We really need to understand Purim. Well, as we've said a few times already, unfortunately, we have certain childish concepts concerning Purim. We need to really change our whole idea of what Purim is about. So last week, we spoke a little bit about Shalach Manos. And we discussed it on a certain level. Let's try and understand it deeper. We find in Chumash that there is a story, an incident, in which it's described of the five kings against the four kings. And in that, this battle of the five against the four, so the Medrash tells us that the five against the four are a description of the four exiles. And every one of those kings represent the exile. The fourth king is called Sidol Melech Goyim. That's very strange, because others are described specifically where they're the king, wherever each one in its area. The fourth one is called Sidol Melech Goyim. Very strange. Goyim is nations, not specific nation. So the Medrash tells us, Sidol Melech Goyim is the Golus of Edom. Shesholeach Turunya. It sends its job to many nations. The job of the exile is sent to many nations. Analyze our exile. And again, exile of Bavel, it was in Bavel and that was it. In Paras, Persia, it was in Persia and that was it. Yavon, it's in Greece. Greece was in Israel, in the land of Eretz Yisrael. So that was it. Now we're in the Roman exile. It started in Rome and we've been going from place to place to place. That's called Sidol Melech Goyim. That we've been sent to many nations, all as an extension from the from this idea called Edom, Rome. Well, it's very interesting is that whenever we went to meet a leader of a foreign country, especially in of that which is from Rome, we would always learn Parshas Vayishlach. Because the Parshas Vayishlach is how our forefather Yaakov dealt with Esav. So whenever we went to meet these type of leaders, so before we went, we would learn Parshas Vayishlach. In Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov sends Esav presents. That's very strange. Yaakov is sending Esav presents. Why is he sending him a present? Is it out of love? No. Flattery? Coercing him? No. Problem. So now, whenever I get a present from Yaakov, I don't know what kind of present I'm getting. And maybe it's one of those presents like he sent to Esav. I have no idea. So I get a present from someone, I don't know what it is. Because Yaakov himself sends all kind of presents, I have no idea. There's one day a year I know what it's all about. On Purim, we don't have to deal anymore with Esav. It's the day of the wipeout, once and for all, of when we see and we taste what it's like without Amalek in the world. And at that time, we're not going to have to go back anymore to Rome. And I'm not going to have to send any more presents to Esav. So now, Yaakov can be who he really is. And Yaakov is an Ish Emes. So therefore, when I get a present from Yaakov, I know what it means. It means love. And there's only one day a year that it's real. And that is Purim. And that's why we send one another Mesholeach Monos Ish L'Reyehu. One to the other. Now, we discussed last week why it's that way. And let's understand it deeper. I want to try and stay away from reiterating what we did last week. But just to review one point is that we must remember that it's got to be for the Seuda. That the Shalach Manas, and sorry for reiterating it because unfortunately you see many times somebody brought me Shalach Manas last night. So number one, it was last night. It's very nice. I told the person maybe I won't be kind of it. I won't take over possession until Sunday morning. Maybe that'll work. Remember how it was meat? Raw meat. Nah, it doesn't work. And a bottle of wine. Oh, that's fine. The wine and the meat is good. It's perfect, except it was raw meat, so it doesn't work. That's not Shalach Manas. The idea of Shalach Manas is that it's the day of love. It's a day when we dropped all the things because we're dealing, and this is the key to understand Purim. Purim is the taste of what Yemos HaMashiach is all about. Chazal tell us that all the Yomim Tovim will fade by the wayside. We'll keep them, but they're not going to be the main. There's only one of what we have today that's going to be the main in its state that it is today, and that's Purim. Why Purim? Because Purim is the introduction to what it's going to be like in Los Lovo. You walk on the street, you meet people on Purim, there's a different feeling. It's a certain feeling about Purim. That feeling, that's what the taste of what Los Lovo is going to be about. It's a tremendous moment. So when I want to be at your Suda, and I want you to be at my Suda, we can't pull that off. Right? So what am I going to do? I'm going to send you a piece of me to be at the Suda. So I'm going to send you a piece of meat and a bottle of wine for me. So when you sit down, you'll feel I'm with you. And you'll send me things for the Suda so that when I eat the dessert, I think, oh, that's you at my Suda. So we're going to make a setting of love, a setting of togetherness. That's what Purim is about. That's what the Sud is about. That's what Chalachmonis is about. And the same thing is true about with Matanis Levyonim. Matanis Levyonim is not tzedakah. It's not Maisa money. It's personal money. The guy down the block doesn't have enough money. My brother, he's down the block. How could I sit down to a meal knowing that my brother doesn't have the joy of Purim because he financially can't pull it off? I can't do it. It's impossible. My love of him, my brother down the block, or my sister around the corner who's not so religious and she doesn't have it, I want her to have a joy Purim too. So I'm going to give money, personal money, not tzedakah money, because it's my brother, my sister. I'm going to give personal money so that they could have a suda. That's Matanis Levyonim. So when yeshiva comes to you and they say to you, you know, we're collecting for yeshiva, it's Matanis Levyonim, you tell them, nice try. It's good, good try. It's a chiyuv for me to give because the Gemalacha says, kol poshet yad, whoever extends the hand, knows them, lo, you have to give him. But that's not Matanis Levyonim. Matanis Levyonim is simple love, simple togetherness. The Oni needs to enjoy Purim also. The Evyon, who's even poorer than the Oni, has to get it. And that's why you should know it's not a simple halacha. It's not so easy. And whenever I meet someone and they tell me that, well, I'm collecting for Matanis Levyonim, I said, you're going to give it to the Oni for the Suda? Here's money for me, money for my wife. Please, you're my shliach, please do it. It's not easy, but I can't sit down to the meal. How can I sit down to the meal? Knowing that my brother and sister are not going to be able to enjoy it. So I got to make sure that's my tone. So
give it to somebody.
What?
If you give it to somebody who is really going to find you fulfill the...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm always looking for people.
It's not just giving a check. It's who you give the check to.
I'm telling you that... I always look for people. So if you know, it's like, for example, if you have, I don't know, like a Tomche Shabbos or something, who actually give it out. Mm-hmm. Or you invite the Oni to your Suda. Mm-hmm. That's already. So that's like the top of the line. That's even higher than giving money to someone else. That's having your brother with you. What more can we ask than having your own brother with you? Right? So that's exactly it. But the point is that it's a love moment. Not a tzedakah, and it's not a, it's personal love. That's Purim. Purim is this setting of what we're going to taste, what Lo'osid Lovo is all about. Such a tremendous moment. I'm telling you that on Purim, I sometimes can go out of your mind from the joy of the moment. It's such a high level moment that it's unreal. Do you have a Rambam? Zman? there is a, in the Svarim, it tells us that it's a very, very big inyan to dance on Purim. To dance on Purim is a very big thing. Thank you very much. Why was such a beginning? In Chassidish Sfarim, they say very interesting about dancing. Dancing in Lashon HaKodesh is called Rikud. Now, one of the malachas, of one of the 39 malachas of Shabbos is Merakid. So Chassidish Sfarim, they tell us, I mean, we're doing the same thing. What happens in Merakid? Merakid is you sift out the bad and you kept the good. So therefore in the Sfarim, they tell us that we could, when we dance, now it's a very interesting thing about dancing. Not just generally, we touched on music the other week, right? There's two types. There's more Jewish music and there's... other music, but it's a very interesting thing about music. What he used to speak about is that you take your body and you move it in accordance to notes that are really not here. It's not real. In other words, we move our body to move in accordance with the music. But music is not something that you could hold in your hand and say, here it is. So in other words, if it's real, proper music, you now moved your body in accordance with a thing that's almost ruchni. It's almost spiritual. And therefore the Svarim say, with rikud, you can knock out some of the things that are in there that shouldn't be there, and you could be metayer yourself through rikud, because that's what sifting is all about, taking out. But let's understand like this. Yaakov Avinu had the two sons of Yosef stand in front of him right before his death. And he had the older one on his right hand and the younger one on his left hand. And what did he do? He was sikel es yodov. He switched the hands around. So the Svarim asks us a simple question. Why didn't he just move Ephraim to the right, move Menashe to the left, and then it would be fine? So the Svarim explain, because in the feet, Ephraim didn't have an advantage over Menashe. In the upper part of the body, Ephraim had an advantage over Menashe. What did it mean? What was Ephraim's main advantage over Menashe? Is Ephraim had Yehoshua who came from him. And Yehoshua led the fight against Amalek. But in the fight of Amalek with Yaakov and the Tsar of Esav, he was able to touch him. He hit him in the sciatic nerve and he walked away limping. So in the feet, you couldn't tell the difference of the one who was able to fight with Esav and Amalek because he limped. In the upper part of the body, so there already, so we had certain strength, and there you were able to. The Gemara tells us, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh. The sun came out. And all of a sudden, the Pasuk tells us that the sun came out in all its glory. And the poem Rashi says, that Vayavo Yaakov Sholem, came complete, Sholem Begufo, Sholem B'mamono, Sholem B'toroso. Complete in his body was totally healed, his Torah was complete, and he had his money with him. When is this Vayizrach Lo Hashemesh? Says the Gemara Nedarim tells us, Yemos HaMashiach. In this world, Amalek touches us. Touches us through assimilation as we see in our generation. And we therefore limp. We don't walk erect because we are deeply affected by Amalek. It's their world and they're really touching us. It's a very interesting thing that Chazal tell us that in the end of the Golus, he's not going to fight in the open. He's going to come and be nice to us. And in the nicety, he's going to be able to get us. It's such an interesting because I don't know how they understood it, you know, hundreds of years ago. But we see it in ourselves, in the generation that we live in. When the sun comes out, lo osid lavo, then Yaakov will no longer limp. Because it's going to be the end of Amalek. The assimilation is going to be over. It'll only be great times for Klal Yisrael. A man who limps has a problem to dance. The man who's without the limp, he has a chance to really dance. Purim is loss of love. Purim is what it's like in the future. And therefore, rikudim, dancing, is such a big inyan. We have to understand how big a day is Purim. There is a gra, and this gra, Rav Huttner would speak about over and over and over again. It's a very interesting gra. The Gross says the following. Every Yom Tif has to be Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lachem. Half to you and half belongs to Hashem. But there are 2 days that are called Yomim Tovim, and that there are exclusions to that. And they are Yom Kippur and Purim. Yom Kippur is Kulo Lashem. Purim is Kulo Lachem. Comes the Gra and says, Yom Kippurim is Yom Kippurim. That's a Zohar. Yom Kippurim. And therefore the Gra says, the two of them belong together. And when you put Yom Kippur together with Purim, now you have Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. A very, very deep Gra with many, many ramifications to it. Let's discuss one of the understandings, one level of this understanding. One of the great people in Musar was a man that is called, his name was Rav Yitzchak Blazer. And he was the Talmud of Rav Yisrael Salanter, or as he was called in the yeshiva world, he's called Rav Itzler Petterberg. That's where he's from, right? Rav Itzler is a nice way to say Yitzchak, no? Itzler. Rav Itzler Petterberg. So he says pshat in a Gemara. It's a Gemara that literally needs hours to understand the Gemara properly. But the Gemara said, and we spoke about this Gemara here once before, but the Gemara says that in the end of days, it's going to be right before the time of the of redemption, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come to Avram Avinu, and he's going to say to Avram Avinu, it's time for the redemption. But your children have sinned. What should I do? He said, children have sinned. They should be wiped out for the fact that they didn't have the right honor of Hashem. Difficult, Gemara. So they say, okay, Avram didn't come. The next one we have to go to is the one who had most of the children. Let's go to Yaakov Avinu. So we go to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov says, they didn't. Stand no covet Hashem, wipe out. So we have to go to Yitzchak. That's very interesting because the two people that are more on the Midas Arachmim side didn't talk up. Are you going to go to Yitzchak because Midas Adin comes to Yitzchak Avinu? The Benisham comes to Yitzchak Avinu and he says to Yitzchak Avinu, Bonecho Chotu. He says, Bonai, the lo Bonecha? They're my children and not your children. When you took them out of Egypt, you said about them, Bin Bini B'chayri, not just that your firstborns. And anyhow, Yitzchak says, how many years does the average person live? The Pasuk David HaMelech says 70, 80 years. Let's say 70 years, he says. So the first 20 years in Shemayim, it's not as severe. So let's knock off the first 20. So we're down to 50 years. Of the 50 years, you have 25 years of sleeping, doing other things that are 100% mutter. So we're now down to 25 years. As Yitzchak says to Hashem, we're down to 25 years. So you know what? You take the 25 years responsibility. And if not, palgo olai, upalgo lecha. We'll split it. You take half, and I'll take half. And if not, I'll take first full responsibility. And I brought myself already on the Akedah, so I did took care of the whole thing already. B'schus Yitzchak asidin ligoel. Unbelievable Gemara. So Bitzel Petterberg said, what does it mean that Yitzchak is going to split it with Hashem? Listen to a beautiful pshat. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara says, Ritzoneinu lasos ritzoncha. Everyone in Klal Yisrael wants to do the will of Hashem. That's the natural want of a Jew. Ma makivs, what holds us off from doing it? 2 things. saw Shabi Isa, the yeast in the dough, our Yetzirah, and Shibud Malchus, the enslavement to foreign kingdoms. So Yitzchak comes to Hashem and says, listen, who created the Yetzirah? You did. You take responsibility for the Yetzirah. Who created the one that put the Jews into exile? Esav? I did. I'll take responsibility. You take responsibility for the Yetzirah, and I'll take responsibility for Jews in exile? What's left? Ritzoneinu lasos ritzoncha. We naturally want to do what you want us to do. And b'schus Yitzchak, there's going to be a gula. That's what it's about. So Futna says, what day is it that you get rid of the Yetzer Hara? Which day is that? Yom Kippur. On which day do we feel the taste of getting rid of Esav, Amalek, and the Golus? Purim. You put those two together, Purim, Yom Kippur. Now, what do you have? Ritzoneinu la'aseh v'tzoncha. That's what Purim is all about. It's the moment in which you finish the problem and we're ready to go. Purim is such a day. It's unbelievable. Listen to this Rambam. I think about this Rambam very, very often. It's an unbelievable Rambam because it's really not just Purim. It's something that really we have to know about this Rambam. The Rambam was found at the end of Hilchas Megillah. And the Rambam says the following thing. It's Halacha Yud Zayin and Perek Beis there. So he discusses the mitzvahs of the day. Mutav l'odom. It's better for a person. Laharbos b'matonos levyonim. To give money to the poor. Milaharbos b'su'udoso. Rather than make your su'udo uvishloach monas l'reya. These fancy shalach monas. Right? We went through that already. Right? We haven't found the halacha. We're looking for the little piece in the Mishnah Berurah called themes. We haven't seen that yet. One, but anyhow, we're looking for it. She'ein, listen to this galoshin of the Rambam. She'ein shom simcha gedola umefu'ora. There's no greater joy. No more beautiful moment of joy. Ela l'sameach leiv aniyim, to take care of and make happy the heart of the poor, yisomim, almonos, geirim. Sha'am misameach, unbelievable language. Sha'am misameach leiv umlolim, if you make happy the ones that are oppressed, domel ishchina. You're like Hashem already. Why shenema la'achios leiv shvolim? You bring alive the root word, the spirit of the ones that are low. Who la'achios leiv nidochim, and to bring life to the ones that are pushed and oppressed. You're doing it. That's what Hashem does. So you're doimel l'shchina itself. Can you get a higher level, madrega than that? So we have to keep that in mind. And very often we get very carried away with our shalach monas. And, when it comes to matanos levyonim, okay, so we'll be able to how much does a can of soda and a small cupcake cost? That's what we'll give aniyim. And for shalach monas, $250 shalach monas. One second, hold it. I think we got it all mixed up. We'll send the little cake for dessert and a bottle of soda for the suda for shalach manas. And we'll send the $250 for the matonis levyainen. Oh, now we got it straight. That's what yontif. It's an unbelievable yontif. It's a yontif of los lovay. It's a yontif of what it's going to be like in the future. And therefore, we have to have a tremendous joy as we come into it. It's pushy when you think about it. But again, what does Esther say? It's probably the most important pasuk in the whole Megillah. And she says, Leich Knos es kol ha-yudim. Mordechai comes and tells her about the decree. And we have to understand, we shouldn't take it simple. In Shomayim, they agreed with Haman. In Shomayim, it was written in the books. And the Maral's language is that we were all set for Abdon, for wipeout. And in fact, if you look at the Rishonim, some Rishonim write that there are two sections in Jewish history, Til Purim and From Purim. Because Til Purim and After Purim are two different sections because theoretically it was over. And that's how great people explained to me a Gemara. It's a very strange Gemara, excuse my language. But the Gemara tells us like this. Rabba and Reb Zeira made a Sudas Purim together. And they both get drunk. Come Rabba. Rabba got up and he shechted Reb Zeira. The next day, it was Machayim Eisim. So, right, beautiful. Next year came Purim time. Rabba comes to Reb Zeira and says, ah, it's such a good time last year. Wouldn't you like to come to the Sudas Purim again? So you and I would say, hey, no way. Huh? That's not what he said. He said, not every day does a nace happen. But it means if he knew the nace would happen, he'd go. Well, what's going on? What do you mean? He shechted it? What does that mean? Next year he really would come, theoretically. So great people explained to me that the pshat in the Gemara is that Pesach time we eat matzah, because that's what happened to us on the way out of Mitzrayim. Sukkis, we sit in the sukkah, because that's what happened to us in the desert. What happened to us on Purim? Purim, there was Tchiyas HaMesim. We were considered dead, and we did tshuva, and tshuva brought us back alive. That means theoretically, if you would really want to live through this Purim idea, there would be Tchiyas HaMesim. But it doesn't, you can't do it because you can't do such an ace like that. But the Gemara is teaching us that we came alive, Purim. Purim, we're back in. How did we do it? Tshuva. And because of that, we were able to taste unbelievable levels. If you look in Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rabbeinu Yonah is very important, and I'm going to say we have still 2.5 hours, the rabbi told me. But anyhow, Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. Level 15 of tshuva. Level 15. It's a very disturbing language. Ki yitochen, because it could very well be. Sheha'ovin nislach. You're forgiven for the avera you did. V'nivdem in yisurim. You're not going to have any afflictions. You're off the hook. V'ein lokel rotze b'cha. But God doesn't want you. Very strange. What does that mean? Let's take an example. Your best friend has been together with you for 15 years. Best friend did a terrible, terrible thing to you. 2 weeks later, comes to you and said, you know, I really recognize it. It's really terrible. I should never have done it. Please, I beg you, be meichel me. So you say, okay, I'll meichel you with a full heart. Is the person your best friend? Not really. You meichel them. You don't hold anything against them. But they're not your best friend anymore. They're going to have to work to get back in. To show that it's real. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if you amaychel you it, you do tshuva. But if you want to be close, you have to daven. And davening is a key thing. But we have to understand, it's very, very important to, we have to rush. But davening on Purim is from the highest level things we could do. Mordechai is called Mordechai ben Shimi ben Kish. Why is this called ben Shimi ben Kish? Ben, the son, Sheshoma Litfiloso. Hashem listened to his davening. Ben Kish, the son, Shehek Shehekish, he banged on the doors of heaven, and Hashem opened it up. And Mordechai was answered through tefillah. And therefore, we have to know that tefillah is from the most important things that we do on Purim. And we know the Gemara says that Ein Eliyahu Nehene, Eliyahu was answered at Mincha time. And that's why Mincha Purim is a very key moment. Because we just said that Kol HaPoshet Yad, whoever extends the hand to you on Purim, knows in law, you have to give him. How much you want to give him, that's your decision. But you have to give something. If that's true by us, it's surely true by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially Mincha, and you beg him on Purim, you're a poshet yad with your lave, nosnim lo, he has to give you. How much? That's his decision. But he has to give you, and that's why you can come into shuls and you'll hear people crying on Purim. Because it's such a high-level moment. And therefore you have to use Purim, especially Mincha time, to daven for the things we're close. And the Rabbeinu Shalom wants the relationship, and it's a taste of what it's lost in love. That's how close we are. So we have to use our tefillah, whether it's for the sick, or for the people of Shaduchim, or people of Parnassah, where there's so many tzaras in Klal Yisrael. And we have so many things to daven for. Purim Mincha time is the moment. It's the moment. Tefillah is always good. If you want to talk about high-level moments, that's it. So we should only be zeicher that we should grab the moment. My kids know I hold on to every moment in Purim, mamish. You know, I might say to them, they'll say to me, you know, it's 2 hours after it's time to bench. I say, what are you talking about? It's not shkia time. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I don't even want to hear when you tell me it's the end of Purim. Purim is not shaykh. Rav Hutni used to say it in the following way. He said, the waves of the sea storm. They know that as soon as they get to the land, it's over. Yeah? But when you're the wave, you're the wave. But you know that in a moment it's over. He said, that's what Purim's about. He said, mishtumt, with storming. Yeah? You know it's going to be over tomorrow. That's tomorrow. We're not worrying about tomorrow. When it's Purim, it's Purim. You taste loss of love. You taste love of one another. You taste togetherness. You taste everything together. That's tasting loss of love. Feeling it. Holding it. You hold on. You dance with the music. You love one another. That moment you hold on to. We hope it'll have an effect later, but you can't let it go. We should be only be zeicher. We should open our hearts and our mind and to be able to reach the joy of Purim. So we should really taste of what it's lost, love, right? And that'll give us the movement to get to the time when we'll once and for all see the eradication of all our enemies so that we can really get to the moment of loss of love. Should be zeichen. Purim. What a day. You know, it's almost like I heard a Russian Shiva say, you know, the youth is wasted on the youth, on the children. Sometimes I think that Purim is, people don't appreciate. You know, it's like almost a wasted day on people. So, Purim. You know, they run around like Meshugoyim and they feel the togetherness, they feel the joy, feel what Yom Purim is. Such a day. And you go out. Shabbi Zaych. Amen.